CenterPoint was an idea to start finding ways to help our customers reduce their downtime by understanding the process data that's important to drive analytics to identify when consumables are going to wear out, when maintenance is going to need to address a piece of equipment, get maintenance to the equipment faster with the right tools and the right information to be able to minimize the downtime.
So in our language, I think we will call that predictive analytics.
Predictive analytics.
Budget overruns, brick devices, data breaches. Building connected products is hard. Welcome to Over the Air, sharp, unfiltered conversations with executives about their IoT journeys, the mistakes they made, the lessons they learned, and what they wish they'd known when they started. I'm your host, Ryan Prosser.
All right, so we're here at FabTech 2023 Fabrication Technology. I gotta say, this is probably the coolest looking show that we've ever seen, at least here on this show. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Hey, we're here at FabTech with our first interview of the day. I've got Kalina Spooner with VKS.
Hi.
Kalina, tell us a little bit about VKS.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming by and meeting with us. So what we do is we are a web-based application that allows basically shop floor operators to have a very visual step-by-step process for them to follow along. So what makes us unique is our sister company is a high mix low volume manufacturer in Canada, and they actually built VKS on the shop floor. So a lot of what we do, a lot of what we see is actually knowledge-based, and we have that experience in manufacturing.
And so we're here at FabTech. What brings you guys specifically here today?
So what brings us here specifically is, one, is to just get our name out there, continue to have really good relationships with a lot of our existing customers, but also meet a lot of companies that could benefit from going digital on the shop floor.
About FabTech, so this is our first time at FabTech.
Okay.
What in particular attracts you guys to this conference, FabTech?
This one I would have to say is the fact that you're actually speaking to the best people. You're speaking to process manufacturers, you're speaking to people in fabrication operations. So a lot of the people that you engage with and have conversations are the right people to speak to, from getting the leads and getting opportunities to grow and prosper.
Okay, so you're talking about, like, there's a very commercial feel to this show.
Yeah.
In you guys' product, as you guys were developing, as you say, on the shop floor, we talk a lot on this show about wrong side of impossible, that the thing that was very difficult to achieve to make the product come to life. For you guys, what does that sound like when you were thinking about this, listening to customers, thinking about it in an eating your own dog food way too?
Yeah.
Something you needed. What were some of the difficult problems you guys had to solve for?
So some of the difficult problems is, number one is ISO compliance. That's a huge one. A lot of companies need to have everything in-house, host in-house. There's certain guidelines and regulations and procedures. So that was kind of like a pain point, but we've mastered that. So we've made sure that the software can actually adhere to those compliances and regulations. Another area I would say is just really being able to get into that, like, connected workforce, connected workspace environment, realizing that you don't necessarily want to take jobs away from individuals, right? Like with the wave of Industry 4.0. So through the API now, we can kind of have like that connected workforce and workspace environment where we're able to overcome those obstacles with the API now. So that was kind of like a pain point, was basically getting an API, getting that up and running, and being able to interface with other softwares and tools and stuff. So I would have to say in the last 5 years, our dev team and our developers and software people have really spent a lot of time dedicating it so that the software can actually adhere to that new wave of, now it's no longer Industry 4.0, now it's Industry like 5.0 and AI and all that kind of stuff. So I would have to say that one of the hardest parts of being in manufacturing is that it's constantly changing, it's constantly growing. So making sure that what you do and what you sell is at that level and where the market's at right now.
Kalina, thank you for being on the show.
It was very nice to meet you. Thank you.
Hey, I'm here at FabTech. I've got Andy from Centerline. Andy, tell us about Centerline and CenterPoint.
Sure. So Centerline's a family-owned production welding equipment manufacturer. It's been in business about 65 years, and we decided to internet enable our equipment so that we can provide process analytics to our customers.
And we've been walking around FabTech today. This definitely has like an industrial commercial feel. What brings you guys specifically to this show?
A lot of our customer base is here, so, and it's an opportunity to introduce our new products to our customers.
So, new product is CenterPoint.
Yep.
Tell us about this. This is appears to be an IoT, you know, we're an IoT show. This looks like an IoT product. What should we know?
Yeah, so CenterPoint was an idea to start finding ways to help our customers reduce their downtime by understanding the process data that's important to drive analytics to identify when consumables are going to wear out, when maintenance is going to need to address a piece of equipment, get maintenance to the equipment faster with the right tools and the right information to be able to minimize the downtime.
So in our language, I think we will call that predictive analytics.
Predictive analytics, yeah.
We hear about this a lot. It seems like at this point, if you're in the commercial space and you don't have predictive analytics, you're in trouble. What are you guys seeing and hearing from your customers? Is this like they want to stay ahead or they view this as do it or we're dead?
Yeah, customers are really interested in being able to improve throughput, reduce downtime. If there's any analytics that they could pull out of the equipment to help do that, they're very interested. We still have the same struggles with IT for the security and compliance versus data enablement. So that's the big holdback right now as far as pushing forward with this kind of technology.
Sure. Yeah, we hear a lot about IT versus OT. Last question. Talk to me about the development of this product. What were some of the like real challenges you guys had to overcome to bring something like this to the market?
Yeah, it's really about the amount of time that it takes to understand what the customer's need is, where the pain points are, talk through what is it that they're really looking for so you can deliver, right? So Centerline has our own initiatives as far as what we want to understand from our equipment. Our customers have a slight variation of that, and really making a product that fills the need that the customers have is, you know, takes some time to identify. So, and then just, you know, developing your own platform, everything takes a lot of time, right? So it's the rollout's not been easy, but it's the development's coming along, and it's, I think this is the kind of product that forever evolves, right? So you never have a finished solution. It's always just iterative solutions, one after another.
So last question. I know I said the last one was last, but last question. As you guys were thinking through the product development and you're talking to customers, like what were the signals from the market that you were saying, look, I think we're onto something. People are telling us this fills a need that they've got. What did that look like for you guys?
Yeah, it's everybody has a solution that fills the production need, right? So has the production data is there. Everybody has a way of looking at it. It's really the whole process analytics side, which we understand better than anybody else because it's our equipment. We built the process, right? So that's really where the fit is for a product like this. Yeah.
Andy Ritchie, thanks for being on the show.
All right, thanks, Ryan.
Hey guys, I'm here at Babtech with Mark, the robot guy, Chinchosi, and you're with Acida. Tell us about Acida.
So Acida is a robotics integrator. We're exclusive with Fanuc, and we do a lot of integration for machine tending, welding, palletizing, and material removal.
Cool. And so we're here at Babtech, as I said. This is probably the coolest and also loudest show that I've ever been to in my life. I don't know how much of that's coming through. It's an unbelievably loud show with all these machines here. Tell us a little bit about what brings you guys here.
So because it's all fab type applications, it's great for us because of the machine tending and the welding and bending type applications, which customers are dying for robotics applications for those types of situations. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to help customers here that are deeply involved in the fabrication industry. And we've been doing it for 40 years.
So we're standing here in front of this very cool machine. Tell me what we're looking at and why you guys have brought it here.
All right, so this is our CX1000 fast load system. So it's a standard cobot system, standard robot system, and it's to load and unload machines. In this case, we're loading and unloading a deburring machine, but we could do load and unload for grinding, machine tool, or lathe type application, and various other applications. What's great about it is it's a standard system. It comes off out of our plant usually in 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow. And for folks that are not watching on video at home, we're going to paint a little bit of a word picture, but we're looking at a large arm, and then underneath here, is this some kind of like a suction attachment?
Yeah, so that's a suction cup attachment from on robots, and that attachment, we can switch that end of arm tool out very quickly and easily. It's a simple button that I click off, and I put a new smart end of arm tool on, and the control from Fanuc will recognize what tool's on it, and we'll be able to pick up different parts.
Talk to me a little bit about what we characterize as wrong side of impossible. So to bring something like this to market, What are some of the technical challenges you guys had to solve for?
So I think one of the biggest things that we had to solve for was to make it easy for customers to be able to pick up and start using easily. So Vanek did a great job because they've developed a cobot system that's a drag and drop icon type programming. We did a little more to it to make it easy so you can load the parts easily, unload the parts easily, so it doesn't take you a long time to program the next part. So overcoming some of those challenges were the biggest issue.
Mark the Robot Man, thanks for being on the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Ryan.
Hey, I'm here with Jim Fields with Techni Waterjet. Yeah. Jim, tell us about Techni Waterjet.
So Techni Waterjet's been in the waterjet business since 1989. So we were founded in Australia, born out of Australia, came into the U.S. in about 2005. Technology-based waterjet company, started out as an automator in cutting carpets and dashboard components, things like that with pure waterjet. Once we matured to the abrasive waterjet, that opened up different markets for us. So we're able to go into stone and glass and stainless and titanium. So we cut everything, so do all the other water jets. So what we do differently at Techni is we try to integrate most of the modern technology into our system, make it more intelligent than the operator. So the operator is now not the subjective decision maker on the system. The system is actually monitoring itself and able to make the decisions for the operator, meaning warnings, shutdowns, and things like that happen even if the operator's ignoring it. So an example is my truck tells me when the tires are low. So what we've done is we've integrated those types of technologies into our servo pump technology, which is exclusive to Techni Waterjet. We're the only ones that actually build a servo actuator type of pump that adds more efficiency as well as lots of data points that we can then initialize other technologies like unmanned operation.
I love it. And so we've been making the rounds here today. We're at FabTech. Yep. What about this show is of particular interest to you guys?
So for us, FabTech's like the Super Bowl. It's like our Super Bowl. It's one of the biggest shows. It attracts the actual perfect customer for us. The competitive technologies are here that we can kind of put ourselves against, measure ourselves against. But it's really the crowd that it draws. It's the information that people are sharing and the technology and the opportunities that people bring here. So it really just is the perfect melting pot for us to showcase our technology and obviously customers' business.
Yeah, sure. So you mentioned a few moments ago some of the use cases that you guys specialize in the early days, and now you mentioned that there's some other folks that also make water jets. What are some of the technical achievements that make you guys different?
I would say every aspect of our pump or of our machine is a level above. Here, let me tell you this. When water jets are cutting equally 50 horsepower to 50 horsepower, they're going to cut the same speed. Where the dead time is in water jet is actually in loading the hopper and pump down and maintenance on the pump, things like this. So everything we've done is to minimize that downtime, maximize the uptime. And so we do that through technology. So the servo pump technology is more efficient, easier to work on, so I can do maintenance on it quicker. It has a bunch of information that I can share onto the new app that we've introduced here at the show. And so it's just doing everything a little bit better and integrating latest technology into what we build.
Got it. So you referred to the app. For folks that aren't watching the video version of today's show, we're going to paint the word picture.
Okay.
But essentially, what we're looking at here is you guys have infused a lot of technology into your product. Can you talk about what that looks like?
Correct.
And the app all the way down to what's happening in the product itself?
So it's been a kind of a three-tier system. The first thing we did was to monitor everything at the cutting head. So the abrasive flow rate, the wear on the orifice, wear on the nozzle, right? So we did that through a product that was all tech-sense. So that's internal to the machine. Next, we graduated to the pump, which is actually monitoring the stroke rate, the amperage draw, the pressure, the oil temperature, the flow rate. All of these things are integral to predicting when something is going to fail within that pump. So now I've got two aspects that are unmanned and unsubjective, right? So now the operator doesn't have to decide, the machine and the pump does, and the parameters do. So it's actually really brilliant tying those two together. But now he said, but wouldn't it be neat? So you still have to go out and you have to look at the HMI on the pump and you have to go listen to what the machine says on the screen. Mm-hmm. So can we tie that all together? And then that's what we did when we introduced Tech Connect, which is what you're looking at on the screen here.
Got it.
So Tech Connect takes a full circle. So now this app I can have, and I do have on my smart device, so I can look at what's going on my machine at any time from anywhere in the world. And it monitors anything from how many parts were ran today, how the pump was running, temperatures. I can quote from this app on my phone, but it really puts all of this data into like the maintenance person's hands or the manager's, operations manager's hands. And nobody's doing this, right? So we're not necessarily inventing monitoring and reporting and being able to work through an app. We're just integrating what's out there readily available into our water jet system.
I love it. One last question for
you.
Yes,
sir.
Can you point out one thing that you guys felt like, man, when we were able to deliver this for customers, deliver this insight, this was a huge lift for them. Preventative maintenance, you know, you're talking about minimizing downtime. Was there one kind of eureka breakthrough that you guys were really excited about in the last couple of years?
Well, I think the servo pump technology was actually the eureka's differentiator between the others that are out there. The operating costs went down significantly, and the technology, informational, and intelligence of the system came up quite a bit. That was probably the eureka moment up until today, right, when we're introducing the Tech Connect, right? So this is something that gives mobility and gives information back to the owners that's important to their business. So now the operator can't come and say, oh, well, the machine did this or the machine did that. It's like, well, I was watching the machine and it did, and you ignored that it was in the red and this kind of thing. So you get real-time reporting back to owners or shop managers, whatever the case may be.
I love it. Jim Fields, right. Thanks for being on the show.
You bet. Thank you.
Hey, we're here at FabTech. I've got Chris Jarrow with Remote 360. Chris, tell us a little bit about Remote 360.
Remote 360 is a web-based application that we use for monitoring and tracking what's going on with our laser equipment. We also have it for our EDM product line as well, but it's really been a great tool for all of our customers to allow them not only to monitor and track what's going on with the machine, but keep tabs of all other analytical data type as well.
And for folks that are not knowledgeable about this particular industry, EDM is electronic dance music?
Not quite. Electronic discharge machine.
Got it.
So there's wire EDM and sinker EDM, more in the tool and die industry. But for the fabrication side, laser is where we started off this service. So it's our bread and butter for laser.
I love it. Cool. And so we're here at FabTech. There is a tremendous amount of people cutting and bending metal here, very commercially oriented show. What brings you guys here?
So release our new products. We have released the ability for cutting with a 12K along with a 20K powered laser, but also promote our extra services like Remote 360.
So we've got, for folks that can't see, a panel with a lot of readouts here, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I must say not everyone's looks as slick as this, so it's obvious that some designers had a say in how this was
created.
It's
a homegrown product. We have our own development team that developed it in-house.
It looks great. Tell us about it.
So again, being web-based, it's very useful for users not to have to install any extra software. It's simply a website you go to, so whether it's a phone, a PC, a tablet, you have access to what's going on with your machines anywhere you are in the world.
We've heard a lot of people talking today about apps. Is it common in your industry for the end user to be using their own phone, or how are people accessing this primarily?
Primarily, I would say if they're diving into a lot of the analytic type stuff, they're gonna be sitting down at their PC. So they're gonna be diving in a little bit more detail, taking their time.
Sure.
If it's just a matter of, I wanna check what my machine's doing, they pull out their phones. So you can simply either go to a website, or we even have, just on here, a mobile app.
Great.
With one touch of a button push, you now have access to pulling up what's going on with all the machines.
Ah, I love it. Cool. So let's talk about this for a second. As you guys were developing this product, what was a unique challenge that you guys were, you know, saying, listen, if this is going to be valuable for customers, we're going to have to solve for X. What did X look like for you guys?
I would say making accurate information. Meaning when we're monitoring runtime production and how productive a machine is, you know, runtime versus stop versus idle, of making sure the information being illustrated was accurate. So we took a long time in making sure the coding and all the logic put behind the scenes when it gathers all the information, that the information is truthful and accurate and not estimated or made up.
Cool. And last question. Our podcast, the IoT podcast, we talk a lot about IoT. This is very obviously an IoT product.
Yes,
it feels like the fabrication world has come a long way in terms of being open to and adopting technology. What's been you guys' experience?
I would say production levels for customers has dramatically increased. When they started realizing the potential of what like IoT technology could do for them, it spread like wildfire. Everybody then started to embrace it. I mean, just with simple tools of always knowing what the machine's doing, but being able to get alerts and reacting to those unexpected downtime situations, they avoid major losses of production. Now they can react and get things up and back up and running in a matter of like, you know, 10 minutes, opposed to losing an hour before they realize something stopped operation or interrupted.
Right.
So using this data has really, or the tools what this service shows, has really helped and aid with that, along with not having to manually track, you know, what my machines are doing.
Right.
Meaning logging individual jobs, how long did it run for, all of it's done automatically and put in a nice central dashboard for them.
We talked briefly before with a business owner who had purchased a machine of a different company for a different use case, but he was saying that as an owner of a company he lives over an hour away, being able to see into his operations really changed his life because he didn't feel like he had to be on the floor every day. He could see. Is this something that you guys hear?
I would say, yeah, it gives basically a peace of mind of knowing that they have a service like this, monitoring the operations of what's going on with the equipment, that if they're not receiving any notifications, it's comfortable or confident they're still running. They don't always have to even, you know, always look up on their phone and check. You know, if they know if something interrupts, they'll get notified, but at the same time, they don't have to worry about logging into their network or even making a trip to their shop to see what's going on. What are my levels of production looking like that day? They can look at it from anywhere they're at.
Chris Jarrow, thanks for being on the show.
No problem. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Last interview of the day here at FabTech 2023. I've got Andy Allman with AMS Controls. Andy, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
So tell us a little bit about AMS.
So it's a family business, started in 77, making industrial controls for HVAC machines. So rectangular duct machines, roll forming in general. And so that's where we started.
Great. So what brings you guys to FabTech? Obviously, a lot of people here today talking about fabrication, technology.
Yep.
Been a fascinating show. For you guys, where's the value? What are you excited about here?
We're here mostly to see existing customers. I mean, there's always new opportunities, but we see a lot of the same customers year after year. And the machinery we work with lasts forever. But technology evolves, and people see opportunities to make improvements. And we do a lot of retrofits of existing machines, in addition to selling controls for new equipment.
Great. So tell me, what are we looking at here in terms of product? Can you walk us through some of the recent innovations?
What we're demonstrating here or showing here is a Pathfinder system, which is a machine control for folding machines. So it's a CNC folding machine, similar to a press brake, but it's a little different operation. And you know, these machines, again, they're great machines, last forever, but the control systems are mostly numeric or basic graphic. So new controls allow the operator to just simply sketch on the screen what shape they want. The controls figure out the best sequence of bends to make the part, and then the controls will then make that part for them. One thing we got new is a servo hydraulic retrofit package that will take, for a machine that can bend up and down, it'll double the production rate. So a lot of it's just taking out small delays, but also with servo hydraulics, we're able to really increase the performance. So the same floor space you have, existing machine, you can now get two machines worth of output with the same staff, which is attractive for a lot of people who can't find the workers.
Interesting. And one question about AMS itself. You mentioned founded in 77.
Yep.
You know, I were talking about kind of been in the IoT game since the 80s. Reinvention is something that's always very fascinating. You mentioned family company.
Yep.
How do you keep a company in technology relevant that long? What does that look like?
I guess the thing we have as an advantage is some very smart customers who are very demanding. So they may see a set of features you have, and they have a need, and they know that we can supply the technology, in many cases develop the technology for that purpose. So a lot of it's just driven by customers asking for certain things. We do try to stay ahead of trends as much as possible, because this is a relatively immature industry relative to like automotive or aerospace. So you can kind of see, you know, what the direction that things are going and anticipate how those technologies can be applied to the industries that we serve.
I love it. Andy Allman, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right, that's a wrap on FabTech 2023. Three key takeaways. I'll go first. Number one, preventative maintenance appears to be evolving into something more like condition-based monitoring, where the next iteration of this is looking in to see the actual condition, not fail, not binary. Now we're starting to look in and get more of a qualitative score. That seemed to be a big takeaway for me. How about you?
Yeah, that's a big one. It's beyond cycle count, more towards that like predictive maintenance state, which we've all been talking about. I would say the second one is that a lot of these companies have their own IoT solution. What was kind of like innovative maybe a couple years ago now seems to be table stakes. Every company here has their own IoT solution and really kind of pushing the boundaries.
Yeah, and the third one, maybe let's do this together, but there's a lot of innovation in this space, and I attribute it to safety and also cost savings. But it looks like we're on where I would characterize as rubber meets the road for AI here. What's your take?
That's exactly that. We're seeing actual implementations of AI on how these robotic arms are moving, how they're cutting with precision, just kind of in all areas. And it's really exciting because there's so much conceptual talk about AI, and a lot of the companies here are actually doing it.
Very cool. I would say this is, with all respect to all the other conferences we've been to, this is my favorite so far. Yours?
I agree. Yeah.
All right, folks, that's a wrap. FabTech 2023. We'll see you on the internet.
Over the Air is presented by Verri, your trusted source for cutting-edge technology solutions. For the latest updates and exclusive content, be sure to follow Over the Air on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else great podcasts are found. On behalf of the team here at Verri, thanks for listening.